Amen. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Today is the Lord's Supper, as you see here. And we're going to be looking at the cross of Christ in the Old Testament. The cross of Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ told the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he told them that the Old Testament was that which spoke of him. And sometimes we read the Old Testament and we think that it speaks of us. Amen. Sometimes we think the Old Testament is about us. Dare to be a Daniel or slay the Goliaths in your life. But really the Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. And so for this Lord's Supper Sunday, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to read this together and talk about it in a narrative fashion. And I just ask you to do this as we read through it. Don't read ahead. Right. Go with the flow. Stick with the plan. Don't read ahead. OK, or you're going to ruin the suspense. So Genesis chapter 22. Let's start at the word after there at the beginning. Genesis 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Stop right there. Don't read ahead. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That cry has gone out all over the Old Testament. And if there is no response, where is the lamb for the sin offering, for the burnt offering? If there is no lamb, don't you see there is no hope? And there is no joy, and there is no peace, and there is no reason to live unless Abraham comes back with a response. Where is the lamb? And I know that if you are a believer, there was a point in your life where you looked around and you saw the fiery wrath of God. And you saw that the wood which would take that wrath was on your back. You see that? You knew of the wrath of God against sin. You knew that you would be held accountable. You knew that you could not stand up to the fearsome, almighty wrath of God. You knew, just as Isaac knew, there needs to be a lamb. Where is the lamb? Where is my sacrifice? Where is my substitute? Because if there is no substitute, we are the ones who perish in the blazes of God's wrath. Amen. And everyone who is a believer has come to that point in their life where they said, the wrath is pointed at me. Where's the lamb? And that's when the gospel comes in. Here is the lamb presented as Jesus Christ on the cross. But if there's no lamb, there is no hope. None given, none to be given at all. And God's people have been asking this for many years. If you go back in time to the Garden of Eden, go back in time to the Garden of Eden, and you will remember that Adam and Eve were put to the test. Now, unlike Abraham, they failed the test. The test was, will you trust God's word and obey him? They did not trust God's word. They trusted in the word of the devil and therefore sinned. That which is not of faith is sin. And they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, they knew that the wrath of God was pointed at them. So they ran and they hid. And there they were, cowering in the bushes with the fig leaves covering their shame. And God comes to them. And when they stand in the presence of God, are they justified? Are they right? No. Do the fig leaves, the works of their hands, hide their shame before Almighty God? Absolutely not. So what does God do? he takes an animal and he kills the animal. I believe the first animal to ever be killed. He kills the animal. He takes the skins of that animal and he wraps Adam and Eve in the robes of animal skins. Do you see that picture there? Do you see the picture of one day being robed in the righteousness of Christ, the ultimate lamb? All the way back into the Old Testament, God's people were asking this question that Isaac asked. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the sin offering? Adam and Eve's son, Abel, he knows of his sin. He knows that he cannot stand up to the inspection of God the Father. He knows that he needs a substitute. He needs a sacrifice. So he slays the first of his flock and offers it to the Lord. And the Lord accepts that sacrifice. And we, of course, know that it's accepted by God because it points forward to the Messiah. Whereas Cain offers the works of his own hand. He does not come to the Father as God had prescribed. And he is rejected. And his sacrifice is rejected. Abel, in laying that lamb or whatever the animal was on the altar, in a sense is saying, you know, this points forward to the final lamb. But do lambs cut it? Does a goat cut it? No, we know that it does not ultimately save to sacrifice lambs. There's more to it. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2, because we have some more revelation here. To verse 2, God says to Abraham, he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. I hope you see that. How many times have we read Abraham and Isaac and thought, you know, I need to lay this on the altar to God like Abraham did. You know, you need to be like Abraham. You need to lay something on the altar for God. That is not the point of the story. You lay anything on the altar to God and it will be rejected. It is only Christ, the Son, the only Son whom God loved, that is accepted on the altar. But oh, how we're narcissistically applying everything to ourselves. We look at Abraham and Isaac and God says to Abraham, look at this. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And offer him there as a burnt offering. A burnt offering is a sin offering. Abraham, for your sin. For your sin, Abraham, take your only loved son and offer him to me. That is what I want for your sin, Abraham. And Abraham, as far as he knows, is climbing up the mountain of Moriah, about to offer his son as a burnt offering to appease the wrath of God because of his sin. So we see more to it. Up until this point, we see, if you read in the book of Genesis, you see lambs being offered. You see the animal slain in the Garden of Eden. You see Abel offering the sacrificial lamb. But now God says to Abraham, I don't want just an animal. I want a son. And I want a son whom is loved. And I want an only son, a firstborn son. That is what I require as a sin offering. That is what I require as a burnt offering. It was to be a human son whom God loved. Now, we have a hint of this in the book of Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. If you'll remember, God tells Eve, remember this? He says, Eve, your offspring will crush the head of the serpent. So we see that it's a man. We see that it's a human that will come in the future who will finally and ultimately defeat the devil. But does he tell us there how it is accomplished? No. We know that the offspring of the woman will accomplish the crushing of the serpent's head through the sacrifice. We learn that later. Hence the phrase, the serpent will bruise his heel. So God is piling on his revelation slowly but surely. And God is speaking to Abraham the gospel of the coming Messiah. An only loved son will be offered on the altar, not of wood here, but on the cross, as a sin offering, a burnt offering, and that is all that God will accept. That is the only thing that God will accept. And the story goes on. Look at verse 7. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father! And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Notice this phrase, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Do you see that? The only acceptable sacrifice to the Lord is the lamb that he offers. God will provide his own sacrifice. God will provide the lamb. And I will say this, you and I need to stop trying to provide the lamb. You cannot offer anything to God which is of any value. You cannot bargain with him. You cannot trade with him. He does not need any of your service. You cannot serve him as though he needed anything. So if there is someone in here who is not a believer, stop offering things to God. Stop it. Take it off of the altar. Take your church attendance off the altar. I don't want to use my church attendance as a bargaining chip with you, God. Take it off of the altar. Take the money that you've put in the offering plate. Take it off of the altar. God, I'm not trying to bargain with you. You don't need my money. You will provide the burnt offering. You will provide the sin offering. And Christians, listen, in your Christian life, nothing that you offer alone is acceptable to God. It is only that which you do through the Spirit which is acceptable to God. So even in your Christian life, God provides the sacrifice. Only that which is done through the Spirit and through faith. Nothing done in your own hands, in your own strength, and in your flesh will be acceptable to God. It is only that which he provides, which he accepts. Salvation is completely and fully of God. Stop putting things on the altar to God. God will not share his glory with you. God is going to save you and I, and we're not going to have anything to do with it. And if you don't like that, then you don't know the God of the Bible. He is not going to share his glory with you. And he will never accept something you put on the altar as though you could offer something to atone for your sins. You will have none of it. God will take the glory, and he will save you in spite of yourself, not because of yourself. It will not be a 90-10 percentage. It will not be a group effort. Salvation is of God completely. Doesn't that give us freedom and rest? A rest from the striving and the busyness of the rat race? Let's continue with the story. Verse 9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. If you're following us, I hope you see the pictures here. The father lays his son on the altar, and Isaac is not a baby. Isaac is a boy big enough to carry wood up the side of a mountain. And there's no doubt that he willingly lays himself up there, just as Jesus Christ did. He lays there on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Do you see the substitutionary sacrifice here? Instead of a son, the ram is provided. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now take that into the New Testament, and hear John the Baptist as he sees Jesus Christ coming to him. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the sin offering. When Abraham said, Isaac, God will provide a lamb for a sin offering. That's it. That is the provision. Jesus Christ comes as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The one who is the sin offering. The burnt offering. But that lamb, Jesus Christ, it says here that on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. That lamb climbed up the mountain of Calvary and he laid himself down on the wood. But the father did not stop. The father plunged in the knife And the Father set the blaze of His wrath on His Son. Amen. That is what we celebrate this morning. We remember. We memorialize. That is our hope. Our life. If God does not provide the lamb as a sin offering, we're wasting our time. That is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The blood shed for the remission of sins. The body broken as an atonement for us. That we could be at one with God. That we could be forgiven. And if that doesn't move you, I don't know what will. That lamb walked up the mountain. By the way, many people believe Mount Moriah to be the exact same place that we call Calvary or Golgotha. We'll find that out in heaven. But that's amazing to me. There the Father went all the way. Now for Abraham, back to the story. God says, Abraham, not your son. He's not the lamb. The ram in the thicket. Continue with the sheep sacrificing. Continue with the ram sacrificing. But I want you to know now, that isn't going to cut it. I want an only begotten son. We learn later in the Passover story that the lamb has to be perfect and spotless, without blemish, cannot have broken bones. Amen. So we're piling on the characteristics of the Messiah who would come. So we go into the New Testament. And when Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to be handed over to Pilate, I'm going to be crucified. And they don't get, no. They had missed so much in the Old Testament. They missed the cross of Christ throughout all of it. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to miss it. We want to celebrate it at the Lord's Supper. Now, as we do every Lord's Supper, we need to fence the table. Because you need to understand something. The Lord's Supper is a feast of communion with Jesus Christ. And throughout the Bible, feasts with God imply two things, blessing and judgment. The feast which will occur, the marriage supper of the Lamb in the future, there will be a great blessing for some and a great curse for others. In the book of Esther, you see feasts. And with the feast of Esther, Mordecai is praised, Haman is hanged. You travel all through the Old Testament and you see these feasts, these mishtas. Where God is blessing some and cursing others. And the Lord's Supper is no different. There is a great blessing here, but there's also a great curse. If you are not a believer, the Lord's Supper is not for you. If you are not a believer, it is not for you. And no one is going to force you to do or not do anything this morning, but you had better examine yourself. Amen. You had better examine to see if you are in the faith. Do you have repentance right now? That's the question. I'm not asking you if when you were a child, you made a decision for Christ. I'm asking you, are you a disciple of Christ? Are you repenting of sin now? And are you trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you trusting in that now? If you are not trusting in that and you are not repentant of sin, the Lord's Supper is not for you. What shall we do, Pastor? Repent of sin. And then it is there available for you. It is not for that. It is not for the professing believer who is living in continual sin. You need to be aware of this. If you are a believer, if you claim to be a believer and you refuse to repent of sin, and right now in your mind, there are sins that the Lord is convicting you of and you are holding on to them. The Lord's Supper is not for you. You are not persevering in the faith. I call you to repentance this morning. You're going to have a period of time where you can confess that sin to God and you can forsake that sin. And Jesus Christ says He is faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And the Lord's table is for you. Let's close in prayer. And then we'll partake. Father, this morning we want to look back into history and remember in our mind the cross of Christ there on Mount Calvary, on the skull, Golgotha. Lord, it is out of that hill of death that springs forth the flowers of our eternal life. And you are wise, Lord. We don't fully understand why it is that you would make an execution the instrument of all of our eternal life. That is peculiar to us. You are wise and we are foolish. And we don't want to be ashamed of that, Lord God. So we glory in it. We profess this morning that we are receiving the benefits of your Son's shed blood and broken body that He broke and passed around to us. Lord God, may you convict us of sin. May you enable us by grace to examine our own hearts and to see if there be any wicked way in us, and that we would turn from that sin, that we might have right fellowship with you. Be with us, Lord God, as we partake in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.